Good morning, everybody. Boker Tov. Welcome to the Sunday morning shiur in Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer. Be'ezus Hashem, today we are going to be speaking more about the ne'emanus of a Kohen to claim that he's a Kohen. If somebody just walks into shul, could he claim that he's a Kohen? Do we believe him or not? And obviously there are many nafkaminas that emanate. First of all, we spoke about aliyahs and duchening, and giving him truma, which in Chutz Laaretz is not a big deal, but in Eretz Yisrael it could be. And then you have more important, other thing, I shouldn't say more or less important, then you have questions of if he does, will he lock out the possibility of him being able to marry a grusha, a gioris? What's going to be the status of our belief of somebody whom we don't know his family background, his family lineage, but he claims to be a Kohen. So we're going to finish. We have to finish off Sif Beis. I'm sorry, I think it's Sif Aleph of Simon Gimel. We're in Simon Gimel now of Evan HaEzer. And the... Let me share the screen with you. And the Shulchan Aruch tells us the end of Sif Aleph. We're not going to do the first half because we did the first half already. The end of Sif Aleph tells us... One second, please. So, if you look at the screen, you could see the following. The Shulchan Aruch tells us a halacha called Mesiach Lefi Tumo. Mesiach Lefi Tumo is a halacha that we find in many places in Shas, and that is, even if I don't believe somebody when I'm putting him on the spot, for example, let's say you ask a cook, oh, is this parv, milchix, or fleishix? So of course he's going to want to tell you it's parv, because it's his best interest. But if you sort of ask in a sly way, like, wow, I love your eggs. What makes it so creamy? Do you put in like some kind of, you know, do you use some kind of like yogurt in it? And he says, no, I put in, it doesn't have any dairy in it. So in that kind of case, he's mesiach lefi tumo. He's not asked about something directly. It's sort of indirect. And then when he's just talking, shooting the breeze, so maybe we'd believe him. So here too, let's say you have a story, as you will see in a moment, where a Kohen is telling us a story, and by reading between the lines of the story, we could deduce that he's a Kohen, even though he's not saying, are you a Kohen? Oh yes, I'm a Kohen. I want to get an Aliyah. But from the story, we could deduce, infer, more than infer, it's evident that he's a Kohen. So then, we have more reason to believe somebody. So for example, what kind of story? Says the Shulchan Aruch. If he's speaking, lefituma means innocently, not trying to prove a point. Ne'eman, he'll be believed to say that he's a Kohen. Ketzad. This is the Shulchan Aruch is now going to quote a story that the Gemara itself tells us. There was a certain young man. He was talking with his friends, shooting the breeze, and he says, I remember when I was a little boy, my father used to carry me on his shoulders. One day he took me out of yeshiva. Hishituni es kutanti, he undressed me. They dropped me in a mikvah, hit biluni, lechol truma la'erev. And all my friends in school, they wouldn't play with me at recess because they would all separate from me. V'chaver b'deilim yimedev ahiyu kornosi, Yochanan ochel chalas. Oh, that's Yochanan, he's the Kohen kid. He has to eat his truma. Nah, he can't play with us at recess. And here he is telling his therapist years later about that trauma that he had of his friends at recess not playing with him. So the psychologist who's with him, this guy on the couch could say, oh, you're telling me that you're a Kohen. And based on that kind of testimony, which was completely, you know, innocent, not directed at trying to get something like get an aliyah, get duchening, get truma. He's just telling the story, you know, relating how traumatized he was from that the friends at recess wouldn't play with him because they called him, ha, you're Yochanan Ochel Chalos, we can't play with you, you have to... So based on that testimony that was so innocent, that wasn't really directed at getting anything directly, Haleu Rabbi Yehuda HaKadosh Lakuna Al Piatzmo. Even though we said last week that in certain situations you have to have an Eid Echad to make somebody to testify that someone's a Kohen. Here, if it's Mesiach Lefi Tumo, even if he says it himself on his own, since he's saying that, sort of shooting the breeze, Mesiach Lefi Tumo, that would be sufficient to elevate him to become a Kohen. How much of a Kohen? So here the Beis Shmuel comments, when we are going to be willing to rely on this Mesiach Lefitumo testimony, which is, again, normally we wouldn't believe you, we would believe in Eid Achad. But if you're Mesiach Lefitumo, so we believe you a little bit. How much? Says the Beis Shmuel, how much kahuna will we believe you? Hainu truma d'rabbanan. We believe you enough that we would be able to give you, to feed you, truma d'rabbanan. Umashmi Rambam, nesius kapayim shavel truma d'rabbanan. Rambam is mashma, that not only for truma d'rabbanan, we'd also allow you to duchen, based on such a story of your innocent Mesiach Vitumo, which demonstrates that you are a Kohen. Asks the Beis Shmuel, the question that we raised last week, what do you mean? How could the Rambam equate duchening to eating Truma D'Rabbanan? Truma D'Rabbanan is only Midirabbanan. But we saw that Nasias Kapayim, for a non-Kohen to duchen, is an Isra Midir, an Isra Aseh Midaraisa. So last week, how could you say, just because if we believe you for Truma D'Rabbanan, how could the Rambam say so too for duchening? Duchening is Daraisa. So where do you see that if you Mesiach Vitumo, that's enough on a Drabbanan Ne'amanus to let you eat Truma Drabbanan? Where do you see that you could even take it a step further to that will allow you to Duchen, which involves a non-Kohen Duchen is Daraisa? So we gave two answers last week. Says Beis Shmuel, he asks, Afal Gav De'ika Asei B'Nesiyas Kapayim? How could you violate that? Maybe he's not a really Kohen. You can't trust the Mesiach Vitumo for Daraisa. Tzarech Lomar, you have to say, like we said last week, Kol She'ein Lo Hana Lo Chayshinan, that there's no pleasure that you derive by duchening, no specific pleasure, unless you like walking around without socks and shoes, you know, without shoes on and shoes. I love walking around without my shoes. The second I walk into my house, I kick off my shoes. If I could do it in shul, that would be really great. Then I have to duchen. Okay, I don't know if that's considered a hana. Since there's no hana, we say we'll believe you. Even on a daraisa, if there's no hana that you're trying to get at by claiming you're a kohen. We saw another answer last week that maybe our nesias kapayim bezman hazeh doesn't have the shem hamafarash, and therefore since there's no shem hamafarash, it's not really if a zar would duchen, then it wouldn't be an issa daraisa, it would only be an issa drabanan. So that is the end of that's the ne'amanas of mesiach lefitumo. And what we see is that a Kohen would be believed if he's at least Mesiach Lefitumo, you know, in the context of some story. You know, if you ask a Kohen, hey, what camp did you go to? And he says, I went to, you know, the Kohen, you know, Malika training seminar when I was a kid. So you didn't ask, he's not trying to get an Aliyah. He's not trying to duchen. He's not trying to get your Truma. You asked him what camp he went to, and he told you that he was at the Kohen camp. So that would be Mesiach Lefitumo, we'd believe him for Truma. Okay, so that's the end of Sif Aleph. We're now up to Sif Beis. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyah B'Dvaro. Delicious. Okay, so Sif Beis is also going to be speaking about Ne'emanus for Kuhuna. But it's going to be a little bit more specific. Not when I walk into the shul saying I'm a Kohen, but what happens if I walk into shul and I say, my son's a Kohen? What's the question? Well, we saw before that for anything serious, you have to have an Eid Achad. The question is, does that father count as the Eid Achad? Now, on one hand, he's not the person at hand. He's testifying about his son, so he's separate and apart from his son about whom he's testifying. On the other hand, obviously, he's a Karov. So I'm just going to remind you of the Mishnah that we learned last week, but we're not really going to be focusing on this Mishnah. It was really from last week's sources. But the Mishnah in Ksuvis, Dachav Gimel Amid Al Amid Beis, I'll take one line. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Mishum Rav Shimon ben Haskan Malin LeKuhuna Al Pi Eid Achad. Even if maybe you can't be Malin LeKuhuna for your own, based on your own claim that you say I'm a Kohen, I want to give me all the Kohen statuses. So Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says no, you can't be believed yourself. You have to have an Eid Achad. Now the question that we're going to talk about is, can a father be that Eid Achad? So here, we have a Gemara in Ksuvis, Daf Chaf Hei. The Gemara in Ksuvis tells us a Braisa. Harishabah v'omar, the guy walks into shul v'omar, b'nize v'kohenu. Gentlemen, you should know this is my son. And B, that's A, and B, you should know that he's a Kohen. Says the Braisa, ne'mon l'hachilu b'truma. That father, that claim that the father makes is sufficient to allow people in the neighborhood to give this young boy truma. However, ve'eno says the Braisa, ve'eno ne'mon l'hasio isha, divri Rebbe. That's what Rebbe says. Rebbe says, you would be believed enough to allow your little son, your son, to get truma, but not believed for whatever yichus purposes are necessary to allow your son to marry whoever this question of marrying is. That far we wouldn't believe, but we would believe for eating truma. That's what Rebbe says. Amalar b'chia, im atama amina l'achila b'truma, I don't understand. You're going to believe the father that he's neid achad, and you'll believe him that to feed his son truma? So believe him also, tamid al hasiu isha. He's either an eidach or not an eidach. He's either a karov or not a karov. If you're going to believe him a little bit, then believe him. Apparently you believe him like an eidach. Therefore he should be believed for a truma, and also believed to let the son marry, hasiu isha, for yichus purposes. And if you're not going to believe him because you assume he's not reliable, he's not an eidach, vim iyata mamin al hasiu isha, if you're not going to believe him regarding hasiu isha, which one? Either, meaning, I don't understand what your distinction is between truma and lasiu isha to tell us that he's not a mamzer, he's not a nasin. If you're believed, you believe. If you're not believed, you're not believed. Is a father believed to tell us about his son? You can't split it like, oh, for this you believe, for truma you believe, but for who the kid is, who he could marry, you're not believed. Amarle, Rebbe responds the following. Listen to this lumdus that Rebbe suggests. Anima amino lachila truma. You know why, says Rebbe. I will believe the father to feed his son truma, to testify that his son is a kohen and could eat truma. Shebiyado lachila bitruma. The father, if he wants, could take his own truma, the father's truma, and feed his son, right? He could do that. So if the father could feed his son truma, the father could be believed also to tell other people that my son is a Kohen and could eat the truma. Meaning the father could do it if he wants to give the kid truma, he could do it on his own. He doesn't need anyone's help. So if he's saying that my son is a Kohen and could eat truma, you give him truma, okay. There's nothing worse. However, ve'eni ma'amino l'hasiwish, the reason why Rebbe holds, you can't believe the father to marry off the son, because it takes two to tango. A boy can't get married unless the girl and her family acquiesce to the marriage. So a father doesn't have the ability to marry off his son unless there's another party that's willing to marry off to marry their daughter off to him. Right. You could want to marry a girl, but if she doesn't want to marry you, you're left with nothing. So a father doesn't have the ability to marry off independently to marry off his son. So that's why ve'eni ma'amina l'hasiu isha she'ein biyado l'hasiu isha. What you have the ability to do on your hand will believe you. You have an emunus on that. Something that you can't do independently, you're not going to have an emunus on that. That's a Gemara. That Gemara is telling us that a father has an emunus to tell us that his son is a Kohen, in as much as eating truma. But not totally, not for Yichus purposes. Comes the Ramban and says something with a lot of lambdas, and that's what we're going to be focusing on for the next 2-3 minutes. The Ramban asks a question. You're telling me that a father is believed? A father is believed about his son? That's so interesting. You're telling me that a father is believed to say that his son is a coin? That's so interesting, because you and I learned weeks ago a story about a father coming into Beis Din and telling us about his son, which we'll see the story in a minute. And in that context, we said we do not believe the father. And we said the father's not believed because he's a karov. And here you tell me you are going to listen to the father testify about his son. Let's see that story that we did see a few weeks ago. A guy walks into Beis Din and says, Isha nasasi b'medinas hayam ve'elu baneha. You remember we had this case of a guy comes back. He leaves as a single. He comes back with a woman and some kids. And he claims, he tells the Beis Din, guys, you want to know something? This, I went to Africa, and I met this really nice Ethiopian Jewish lady. And these are our children. She's Jewish. My children are Jewish. So the Gemara tells us, the Gemara in Kiddushin says, Tzarech lavi raya al ha'isha v'al habanim. He has to prove, he has to have some kind of raya that this is his wife, these are her kids. What do you see? You see that you do not believe a man identify his kids. Al me'ihu lo mehemen. Lo mehemen. And there it's talking about even for truma purposes, even for eating truma purposes, as it says in the small letters. And the reason why we don't believe the father, even for truma purposes, to identify who his kids are, is because he's a karov. He's related to his kids. The karov who ate el benau. So what do we have? We have Rebbe in our Brisa that says a man could come in and walk in and say his son's a Kohen. But we have this Mishnah in Kiddushin that says if a man walks in and says, so-and-so, this is my wife, these are my kids, you're not believed to identify this family as your relatives and identify these children as your sons who are Kohanim and able to eat Truma. So we have a Stira. We have a Mishnah against this Psak of Rebbe where Rebbe says you are believed to say that who your kids are. So the easy way out is, yeah, Rebbe argues on this Mishnah. Ikaman dama Rebbe Tanahu Palik. Yeah, there's a Mishnah that says that if you walk into Beis Din claiming who your family is, you're not believed. But Rebbe says, you are believed. He's against the Mishnah. He has a right to be against the Mishnah. Rebbe Tanahu Palik. But you know, you and I know that we don't like giving that answer. That's a last ditch effort if we're stuck with our backs against the wall. And Rebbe says something, so we could weasel out of it by saying Tanahu Pal, but we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. So how could Rebbe say that a father could testify that his son's a Kohen when we have this Mishnah that says that you're not believed who your children are, who these random people are that you're claiming they're your children? So look at this very beautiful lumdus that the Ramban puts forth. Vili Nira, says the Ramban, let me say this outside. If you walk into Beis Din, we said that to identify somebody, let me tell it to you outside, then we'll see it inside. To identify somebody as a Kohen, you need an Eid Echad, right? Let's say I walk into Shul, and I see the Chazan. I say, guys, Chazan Freund, you should know he's a Kohen. I'll be believed, right? Because I'm an Eid Echad. And I'll be believed, an Eid Echad is believed to testify something as a Kohen. So if I walk into Shul and I say, you see this guy sitting in the front row of Shul? Pretty tall, tall guy. He's a Kohen. I don't say that he's my son. So if I just came in as an Eid Echad and testified, I said nothing. I just said, I'm testifying that so-and-so, this guy sitting in the front row of Shul, he's my son. I don't mention that I take that back. I don't say that he's my son. I just say he's an Eid Echad. Again, I take that back. I walk into Shul and I say, this tall guy in the front row of Shul, he's a Kohen. You'd believe me because I'm an Eid Echad. So since I could have said that, so believe me, I had a Migo. I could have just said he's a Kohen. Not identify his family, not identify his lineage, not correlate the fact that he's my son. I could just say, he's a Kohen, and I'd be believed as an Eid Echad. So since I could just say, this guy's a Kohen, so believe me when I tell you that he's my son who is a Kohen. Meaning, I have a Migu. I could have just said he's a Kohen and be believed. So Migu that I could say he's a Kohen, believe me that when I say my son, he's a Kohen, my son who's a Kohen. Since I have a Migu, therefore, I have a right to testify because of that migu. That's what the Ramban says. Vili nira, dahasam. Sorry. Hold on. Vili nira, dahasam. The reason why. The reason why, in the case in Kiddushin, you're not believed. To tell us who this family is, Daza Gagon Diadina Besade, we know with witnesses Debrehu. We know that this guy is your son. Hilkach lo mahin mehemen. One second. If we already know from somewhere else that he's your son, That's why you're not believed. Because we already know he's your son, so you're just trying to testify about your son. You can't, because you're a karav. But here, where a father would be believed to say that his son is a kohen, we don't know that he was your son in the first place. Because if you look back at the lashon of this braisa that we were talking about, the lashon of the braisa is beniza, this person is my son, v'kohen hu. That's when I'm the father is believed. What is he saying? He's saying, guys, you didn't even know who this child is. I'm telling you he's my son and he's a kohen. Oh. Since we didn't know who the son is previously, we didn't know who the son was, and you're telling us that he's a kohen, you could testify, you have the miga to say that he's not your son, and just say he's a kohen. And then you would be believed just to say that he's a kohen, as an Eid Echad. So therefore, you don't, the community, the Beis Din doesn't know that this is your son. As the Brisa said, the father testified, this is my son. Clearly, other people didn't know it's his son. And you're adding that v'kohenhu. V'mehemen, I underline this, migu diboy omar kohenhu stam. I could have just walked into Beis Din and said, this person, this individual is a kohen. I would have been believed. To mehemen, to lo yadil on debrehu. Hadein he svara de Rebbe. That's what Rebbe says. That's why Rebbe says that a person is believed when he walks into Beis and says, this is my son and he's a kohen, because he has a miga that he could have been just a regular Eid Echad. But let's look back, please, at this discussion underhand. Let's try to analyze. We're trying to figure out if a father is believed to say that his son's a kohen. So look at this braisa we have here. The braisa starts with Rebbe that we've been discussing, because we paskin like Rebbe. Hare Shabava Amar, a guy says, again, going over this braisa, Beniza v'kohenhu. So Rebbe says, Neman l'hachil v'truma, but not for marriage. Says Rebbe Chia to Rebbe, I don't understand. If you're not going to believe him for marriage, don't believe him for that he's a kohen. If you're willing to believe him that he's a kohen, so believe him for marriage also. Can I ask you a question? The Ramban just explained that the reason why you're believed to say your son's a kohen is because really you have a migu, you could just say, this person is a kohen, without specifying that he's your son. We would never know that he's related to you. So believe him now, even though that you're related to somebody, believe him. What's the problem? The problem is that you're a karov. But it's okay if I'm a karov, because I have a migu. I want to ask you the chakira bosai. Could a migu help in a situation of a karov? Let me say that again. If you have a situation where we don't want to believe somebody because he's a karov, but you have a migu that should help you be you have a migu that helps you be believed. Is that a reason to believe somebody who's a karov? Wait, I'm sorry, Chazma, what were you saying? Say that again, please. I'm sorry, unmute yourself, Chazma. Say that again.
Because of the kirva, no matter what he said.
So you're saying that even if you have, you're saying that the fact that you have a migu,
even if it's true.
You're saying even if you're saying
because even if it's true,
that's practically what the Ramban asks. The Ramban says, wait a second. You're trying to explain that a father should be believed about his son because the father could pretend he's unrelated and just testify that this gentleman, without saying it's his son, is a Kohen. So now believe him when he says it's his son who's a Kohen. And since he could have just said, I'm an Eid Echad, and this person's a Kohen, believe him now that he's my son who's a Kohen. You have a migu, you could have just pretended you were somebody else. But wait a second.
But Kurva normally doesn't apply to Eid Echad. You know, I ate lunch yesterday because my wife said, Avis, that the food is kosher. A man relies on a woman that says she went to the mikvah, even though she may have an agenda too. So Kurva and Eid Echad don't always, you know, coincide.
You're asking a good question. I don't think I have an answer.
You rely on Edechad. Edechad Neman Beisuchin. That's yes, but it's not the case here.
Here we're talking. Maybe here we're talking about Yuchsin.
Yuchsin. It's even a monetary claim. You claiming they can.
So for money and for Yuchsin, I don't think we would apply the rule of Edechad Neman Beisuchin. And you're right, Dr. Jared. If it would be just a case of Isurin, then you would be believe in Eid Echad, even if they're a Karov. You're right. But if it's a case of Yichus, a case of Arayas, or Mammon, we're not talking about Mammon here. We're talking about, we are talking about Mammonus.
Well, it is a Mammon.
This is Truma, yeah. Achilas Truma is Mammonus.
It is a Mammon.
That's right. What's that, Mr. Bergman?
Gezel Hashevet.
Gezel Hashevet. Yeah, if you eat Truma, that is Mammon. So Dr. Jared, even though you're right that you could believe an Eid Echad, even if it's a Karov, you're right, you could believe your wife, you could believe you go to your daughter's house and she said the food is kosher, you could trust your daughter who cooked your supper or who checked your vegetables or who checked your lettuce for you, you could believe her. But that's not going to be true to say that you can now take Truma from somebody, collect Truma from another person. That's already mammonist, and we shouldn't believe you mitam the din of Edecha Neman Bisur. So we can't use Edecha Neman Bisur in here. So we have here is something very incredible. The way the Ramban is explaining, again, on the screen I have, I'll put it into two paragraphs. Oops, that wasn't good. I have here Rebbe against Rebbe Chiya. Look at this braisa again, please. A guy walks into Beis Din saying, Beniza v'koinhu. The Tanakhama, meaning Rebbe, says, the father is believed on his son, and the way the Ramban is explaining is because he had a migu. He had a migu that the father could have just walked in and said, he's a Kohen, I'm an Inechad, this fellow is a Kohen, without saying that it's my son. They happen to look a little similar. They happen to both be tall. Okay, that doesn't make a difference. Comes Rabbi Chiya and says, I'm not going to believe the father. If I should believe you, if I could believe you, then I should believe you for everything. If you say, for Yichus. If I can't believe for Yichus, I shouldn't believe you for anything. Why not? Why? What happened to the Migu? So the Ramban is going to say that according to Rabbi Chiya, there is no Migu because Migu, which is a vort of Ne'emanus, helps you when the problem is that we don't believe you. But if you're a relative, the reason why we don't listen to your edus is not because we don't believe you. One second. When you're a relative and you're testifying for somebody, it's not that we don't believe you because we don't believe you, right? If Moshe Rabbeinu would testify about Aaron, his brother, would we accept it in court? Of course not. Does anyone question Moshe Rabbeinu's honesty? If we do, then we're in big trouble. So Moshe Rabbeinu cannot testify about Aaron because he's a Karov. So if you're the psul is a psul of Kurva, how could a Migu help you?
Nine.
That's the question that the Ramban, that's how the Ramban learns this in Lamdisha way of learning a Machlokas Tanaim. The Ramban says that's what they're arguing about. We'll see it inside. We have a Machlokas here. Rebbe says, we'll believe the father because he has a Migu that he could have said, I'm Stama person. Believe me that so-and-so is a Kohen. Comes Rabbi Chiya and says, no, we're not going to believe him. Explains Ramban, why did Rabbi the Tanakhama say that we'll believe the father? Because the father has a migu. He could say he's Stama person, not the father. And Rabbi Chiya challenges that and says, you can't apply the rule of the Ne'emanus of migu here because we're not handling a question of Ne'emanus. We're dealing with an issue of Psul Kurva. We have a Psul of Kurva. That's what's invalidating the father. Kurva and Amigo shouldn't help in the Psul of a Kurva. Let's see the Ramban present to us this fabulous Lamdas. We're going to do these two paragraphs together. You're going to see Rebbe and the opposing opinion of Rebbe Chiya. Rebbe, who the Ramban is explaining, is based on Migu. And then Rebbe Chiya argues on that, says you can't apply Migu. Velinira. Let's just do what I underlined. When do we believe the father when we had no idea that it's his son? As the Braisa was Meduya, Kedekasani, Beniza Vekoinu. That means no one knew that it was his son. So since no one knew that it was his son, he could have very easily testified. The father could have walked in and said, this gentleman, this tall guy sitting near me, he's a Kohen. without saying a word about it, it's his son. The Mehemen, the lo yadil under brehu. No one else knows that it's his son. Hadin he svar the Rebbe. That's the svar of Rebbe, that the father would be believed because he has a miku. V'Rebbe Chiya, Rebbe Chiya, who rejects that, who doesn't hold that the who holds that the father would not be believed. Svirule came in the moda who debrehu, since the father is moda that it's his son, right? He does say that it's his son. Drachmana pasle, he's pasul because he's a karov. Just like we say, you know, all over, Otu Moshe v'Aron. Do you think if you had an edus of Moshe and Aaron, it's not because you don't trust them? You shouldn't do lo mehemne. No, elo do rachmana paslinu. That possible because there's a psul kurva. So amigu gives you what? Amigu gives you ne'emanus when you shouldn't be but trusted. That's what amigu gives you. But here, that's not the issue at hand. The issue at hand is not ne'emanus. The issue at hand here is, should we believe the father because he's a karuv to his son? That's what we don't want to believe the father. So what you have here in front of us, according to the Ramban, is a fundamental machlokes tana'im, first generation late generation tana'im of Rebbe versus Rebbe Chiya. If amigu works to take care of a psul kurva, or does amigu only work when I don't trust you? Migu says, I could trust you. Comes Rebbe Chiya and says, sorry, buddy. Migu only works when there's a trust issue, but here there's not a trust issue. It's a psul kurva issue, and Migu can't help you for a psul kurva. Okay, so wait. That was
in opposition to Rebbe Chiya, there is a concept that sometimes halachic reality and reality are not the same thing. So, for instance, let's say you have a case of mamzerus. Man and woman are mazana, but there's insufficient evidence to prove that the boy, that she's pregnant from this boel, from the znus, the boy is considered kosher, the child is considered kosher. But we know reality is, the metzias is that this is a child is a mom, should be passing mamzer, we can't know. So there is don't we find a concept somewhere that halachic reality and reality are not necessarily the same?
I'm scared to go there for two reasons. Number one, because mamzer is a different sugya, because a suffix mamzer is different than every other suffix d'oraisa. Suffix mamzer is the Torah we learn from a pasuk. I think suffix mamzer is lahakel. That's A. And B, here we're not saying that there's a reality, but there is a judicial reality that's different from the reality. Here we're just saying, really, I have a father who shouldn't be believed. Rebbe was mechadesh that he has a migu, he should be believed. Comes Rebbe Chiya and says, very nice, you'll believe him, but his testimony is not accepted, not because we don't believe him, but because he doesn't have the right to walk into the Beis Din in the first place, because he's a relative. So it's that we can't be goreis what a father says about his son. He's a karov. I don't know if that means that there's a reality and an artificial reality. It just means that he can't even walk into Beis Din. He's a karov. Rebbe said, he has a migu. Rebbe Chiya says, you can't use a migu, which is a vart of ne'amanus, of giving somebody ne'amanus that he would otherwise wouldn't have. The psul is not a psul ne'amanus. The psul is a psul of, the psul is not a psul ne'amanus, it's a psul of kurva. But that's a strong question.
We don't accept testimony. We don't accept the testimony, regardless what is.
Correct. He can't walk in, even if we would believe him 100%. He's a Moshe Rabbeinu, he's an Aaron HaKohen, we still wouldn't believe him. Well, that's a very strong question. That Rebbe Chiya had a really strong question. So if that's such a strong question, well then, you know what we're going to do? We're going to flip it back on Rebbe and say, hey, Rebbe, so how come you did accept this migu? How come we just said Rebbe said, I have a migu. Rebbe Chiya asked, how could you use a migu? After all, it's the psul here is a psul of kurva. Wow, that's a really strong question. So why does it work? So why did Rebbe say that the father would be believed to tell us that the son is a Kohen? So now the Ramban says, so I'll have to readjust my explanation of Rebbe, why it works. Rebbe savar hacha dumida pesha asru ha-pesha hitir. Maybe it's not really a migu. You're right, migu, you can only apply migu when there's a problem ne'manus, so you don't have ne'manus when it comes to psul kurva. So I'm not going to say the word, I'm not going to use the word migu. Migu is a charged word. I'm going to say, you know why Rebbe says This is how the Ramban is going to explain. You know why Rebbe says that you could believe a man who say that my son is a Kohen? Not because he has a migui, he could have been a regular Eid Echad. But HaPesha Asar Hu HaPesha Hitir. The same Peh that says, why do you know that he's, how do you know that he's a Karov? Because he said, it's my son. The same Peh that said, it's my son, said that he's a Kohen. Again, you want to tell me that I have a Psul Kurva, and therefore you can't apply Migu? Fine, I have a Psul Kurva. But you didn't know he was my son. So if I wouldn't have been here, you would never have known he was my son, and you wouldn't have known he's a Kohen. I walk into Beis Din and I tell you he's my son. Oh, now you're a Kurov, you can't be believed. Well, the same mouth that says that he's my son, and now you're going to say I'm a Psul Kurva, I'm telling you he's a Kohen. Pesha Asaran said that I'm a, therefore it's my son, I shouldn't be believed. But I'm the same son that tells you that he's a Kohen. So believe me that, yes, he's my son. You don't want to believe me by, I didn't have to testify at all. If I wouldn't have testified at all, you wouldn't even know that it's my, he's my relative. Now that I testify, and now you know he's my son? Okay, but I'm telling you, he's a Kohen. So believe me, Pesha Asar Hu HaPesha Yitir, which is different than a Migu. Migu is that I could have said this, I said something else. That's all going with Ne'emanus. But maybe Pesha Asar Hu HaPesha Yitir could work even without, could Pesha Asar Hu HaPesha Yitir could work even for Psul Kurva. This is a very lumdish thing. Anyway, I don't want to get more further, deeper into this very lumdish machlokas as the Ramban is explaining this machlokas. What we have here is machlokas, Rebbe and Rebbe Chia. Could a father be believed to testify about his son? How do we paskin? Let's get to the bottom line. Comes the Beis Yosef and says, Halacha k'Rebbe, that a father is believed to tell us that his son is that a son is a Kohen. A father is believed. Halacha k'Rebbe. Now, let's jump, if that's the case, let's go straight to the Shulchan Aruch. This is Sif Beis. Says the Shulchan Aruch. What are we learning today? New Shulchan Aruch for today. Haya Eid Echad Meid Olav. If you have one aid, tells us that so-and-so is a Kohen, well, even one aid, that's enough. Neman lahachilu betruma bizman hazeh. One aid is sufficient to allow a Kohen to be considered a Kohen as far as to eat truma bizman hazeh. Number one. And number two, velikros betorah rishon, to get Kohen. And number three, velisa es kapav. And concludes the Shulchan Aruch. And guess who could be that Eid Echad? Va'afilu aviv ne'eman alav. Even the father is believed to be that Eid Echad. Like Rebbe in the Braisa, and that's the P'sak of the Shulchan Aruch. That you could have one Eid, even the father could be that one Eid, and one Eid is sufficient to testify about three things, getting aliyahs, duchening, and eating truma d'rabbanan bizman hazeh. That's what one aid is sufficient for. So last week we learned about if you walk into Beis Din, what are you believed to tell them? If you walk into Beis Shul, could we listen to you? Today's Shulchan Aruch is what happens if somebody testified about you. If anyone else testified about you, you could definitely get rishon, you could duchen, you could even get truma d'rabbanan, and it could even be your father who's testifying about you. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Why is this? Now the Beis Shmuel gives us a little summary of what we just learned with the Ramban and the Beis Shmuel, the commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, sums everything up altogether. Afil hatam evur b'shas, the reason that your father is believed is explained in Shas. Tenem on the father is believed b'migu d'habiyado hu l'achila truma. The father could have just fed his son truma on his own. So now believe me when I say that you could give my son truma. Rambam, by the way, the Rambam holds, we didn't see this yet, afilum yaduhu dehu aviv mikoma kom nemanhu. Even though okay, that's a side point. The Ramban says, that if we know the father is that if the father is the father, so there's no migu, then the father doesn't be believed, right? Because according to the Ramban that we just said, what's the whole reason why the father is believed? Because the father could have said nothing, or the father could have not testified, and he'd been an Eid Echad. But if we know the guy is the father, if we know who the father is, we know that this is a father-son duo, then the father would not be believed to tell us that the son is a Kohen. Because the father wouldn't have a Migu, the father wouldn't have a Pesha Asar. And therefore, if we know who the father is, the father cannot come and tell us who his son, that his son is a Kohen.
Yeah, but isn't that another example of what my point before, that halachic reality, judicial reality versus real reality?
How so?
This will summarize the Ramban. You know, if we see, if we know that he's the father, we don't believe him. We don't know, we believe him. Again, the halachic reality.
Well, let's think. Reality. If we know, I'm just a step behind you. You're a step ahead of me. If we know the father is the father, so therefore the father no longer has a migu to say, to act as an Eid Echad. And since he doesn't have a migu or a Pesha Asar, then he will not have any way to be believed that he, to say that this person who is his son, that we know is his son, is a Kohen.
Right.
That's what I'm about to say. So what do you see from that?
That here, if we, it depends, based in can posit something, can come with a conclusion that it's fakir from reality.
Why is it fakir from reality?
The guy says, he's a Kohen. Good enough. He's a Kohen. Good enough. Even though Metzius says this is the father, according to the Ramban, he should be possible.
I didn't follow that. Again, help me. I didn't get that.
If the father walks into the shul and says, this guy is a Kohen, walks in the basin, this guy's a Kohen.
We know he's the father. We don't know he's the father.
We don't know. We know nothing. He's just.
So then he'll be believed.
We believe him, exactly.
Correct.
So, and even though Metzius says he is the father, the basin could paskin something based upon the evidence that the guy says he's a Kohen. We believe him, we paskin that way. But that is vakert from the reality. The reality is that he is the father and he should be puzzled according to this Ramban.
But the reality is that it's his son, so he's believed, so it is his son. I'm not sure if that's...
It's his son, but we don't paskin like that because we don't know it. The halakhic reality, judicial reality, as the Rav called it, can be different than the truth, the Metzius.
I mean, it ends up that the truth here is that it's his son, so it they right. don't, they're not until different.
Until Beis Din knows that, though, he is believed, the father is believed, to allow this guy to be considered a Kohen.
I hear the point you make. I hear the point you make. I'm not sure. Not sure how we'll have to apply it in the details. Okay, fine. So let's take the next step. Continues Beis Shmuel, again, putting everything together for us. Of Aviv Neman, when we said that the father is believed, because we're Mekel, that the father is believed, like Rabbi of the two Tanaim. Of Aviv Neman, the Truma Bizman Hazeh, when we say that he's believed for Truma, who had in the Shara Dvarim? Whatever else, an Eid Echad would be believed. A father would also be believed. However, what is a father not believed? What is an Eid Echad not believed? I'll tell you what an Eid Echad would not be believed, and nor is a father believed. Ulu Yuchsin. To tell us that this person is not a mamzer, not a nasin, who he is as far as his family background, his lineage, einu ne'eman. U'kashaba lisa isha, when this young boy, again, his father can't testify about him, even Eid Echad might not be able to testify about this new kid in town. Chayshin shema mamzer hu, came into ein l'cheskes kashas, v'Eid Echad gam king einu ne'eman. Okay. So why don't we believe him for yuchsin? So we're gonna, again, this is going back to a discussion we had, you know, a month ago or a month and a half ago about are we worried that stam people are mamzerim? So I have in the bullet points, even though really we're not worried about, you know, afal gav de kaimelon kol davar she'en b'cheskes kashrus. Okay, without getting into that, normally we assume that stam people aren't mamzerim. We're still worried for yichus, and we're still a little concerned. Okay, let's leave that off. The last line is the line that I need to focus on. Let's say you have a Kohen, marries a Grusha. It happens. It definitely happens. Kohen Shanasa Grusha. Va'omer, and he says, you know what? I'm really not a Kohen. Va'omer de'eno Kohen. Oh. Well, until now we were talking about the other part, the other side of the coin. A guy comes in and walks in and says, oh, believe me that he's a Kohen. Believe me that I'm a Kohen. Believe me that my son's a Kohen. Oh, maybe we should believe him. What about the opposite? A guy, I know there's a guy in Shul. He's been getting, I think he's a Kohen. I thought I knew he was a Kohen. I see him going out with this Grusha. And all of a sudden I say, aren't you a Kohen? Isn't she a Grusha? He says, oh, she's definitely a Grusha, but I'm not a Kohen. I was joking all these years. You misunderstood. My father, he wasn't really a Kohen. He thought he was. He used to duchen. He used to get Rishon, but he really wasn't. I'm not a Kohen either. how do I deal with this? Do I believe him? Do I not believe him? If he would say, I am a Kohen, then maybe I would believe him. Now he says, I'm not a Kohen, so I should also believe him that he's not a Kohen and let him have this, let him enter this marriage. Says the Beis Shmuel, no. If we know that somebody's a Kohen and now he's marrying Grusha, saying, oh, I'm not a Kohen anymore, I was never a Kohen, he's not Naaman. V'kofen legaresh osa. That's very unusual. If we believe you to say that you're a Kohen, so then how come we don't believe when you say you're not a Kohen? You're saying once you did say that you're a Kohen, then you're in trouble. Then you're considering yourself a Kohen. Okay. So I want to go through a fabulous historical tshuva from the time post Spanish Inquisition. We know that in the Spanish Inquisition, we had Muranos called Anusim. Anusim people were forced to act as though they were Goyim. And you had multiple generations of Muranos after the Spanish Inquisition. So let's say the Spanish Inquisition was 1492. And then 100 years later, in the early 1600s, let's say, I don't know when this tshuva was written, a guy becomes religious from a Murano family. Maybe it's 150, 200 years later. From a Murano family, a Spanish, you know, let's say his last name is, I don't know, Lopez, Cardozo, Lopez, one of these, you know, Spanish names that were clearly Muranos. And he comes back to Yiddishkeit and he says, my father was always careful not to walk into a cemetery. My father was very careful to never walk into a cemetery, and he always told his family, never marry a divorced woman. Remember, his father wasn't religious, he was a Murano. Maybe they lit candles, you know, Friday night in the basement. Maybe he didn't eat pork. And he never walked into a cemetery. He made a point of never walking into a cemetery. I'm the grandson of this Murano I became from, and I'm going out with a wonderful Grusha. I want to marry her. Could I marry this Grusha? Or do I assume that I'm a son of a Murano, and my grandfather, who wasn't really religious because he was a Murano, didn't practice all of the mitzvahs, but he had this tradition that he was acting like a Kohen. What a fascinating and frightening historical question. So look at this tshuva that the Otzer HaPoskin quotes from the Radvaz Divrei Dovra. I'm not sure what that... I know what the Shas HaTshuva of Radvaz is, but I don't know what the Radvaz Divrei Dovra is. Nishal, look at this box on the top line. Nishal be'echon min b'nei ha'anusim, a child from a Murano family, she'aviv, and he tells us that his father, hayon nizhar militami l'meisim, and his father was very careful, never walked into a cemetery, but he was a Murano. Not only that, but the Goyim, the Spanish neighbors, would call the grandfather, this family's grandfather, great-grandfather, how you call him, Avi Avi Avosav, would call the great-grandparents B'Shem Kohen. They called him the priest, the Jewish priest. And this father... Again, not the guy who's asking the shayla who's going out with the grusha. The father of this guy, Shalas P. Echon Migdoli Hador, his hero is telling me the time of the Mason. And I'm not sure who asked the shayla from the Gdoli Hador. It said you should avoid being with time to Mason. Maybe it is the person who's asking the shayla. But his grandfather, who already had become religious after the many a number of generations of being Muranos, but a grandfather who became religious after being a Murano, so the guy who was asking the Shiloh was told, you should avoid going to a cemetery. But the grandfather did go into cemeteries. But this, I assume we're talking about the grandson, wasn't worried about, you know, they're going to cemeteries. Venaza Grusha. And now he wants to know, can I keep my Grusha wife? Imuta Lekaima. Complicated again. I don't get all the details of who did what. The great grandfather did this, and the grandfather did this, and the father did this, but he's doing this. Veheshiv. How do you deal with this case of this tradition? You know what it's like? It's like a Shiloh we get all the time. All the time we get a Shiloh like this. You have a non religious family who tells his son, we're Kohanim. It happens all the time. And it's going to happen more in the next generation because more people are not religious. So you have a gigantic section of Jewish people, of Klal Yisrael. They're going to look at their grandfather's graves and they're going to see, you know, that picture, those the two hands raised up for Nesias Kapayim on the grandfather's grave. The grandfather wasn't religious, their father wasn't religious. And here you have a guy who becomes a Baal Teshuva, he goes to his grandfather's grave and he sees his grandfather's great-grandfather's grave, his father's father was, you know, has two hands of Nesias Kapayim. And now he's going out with a wonderful girl. He's a Baal Teshuva, she's a wonderful Baal Teshuva, she's a Grusha, she's a Gioras. Could they get married? I had such a Shaila. It wasn't asked to me, it was asked to Rabbi Willig when I was in the Yad and Yadin Kolon YU. It was a very painful Shaila. The Shaila was from Atlanta, I believe. Atlanta has a very large Baal Teshuva yeshiva, Baal Teshuva community. A guy was going out with a girl, a Gioras. And she pushed him to become more religious and more religious and more. And he basically became religious because of this girl he's going out with. She was a Gioras. And as he became more and more and more and more religious, he found out that his family is a family of Kohanim. He only found out and only learned about it because he was pushed by this wonderful girl he was going out with who is a Gioras and pushed him to become religious. And now that he became religious, he finds out that he's a Kohen. That was terrible. Can you imagine that? If they have to break up now, the girl who made him religious, and they want to get married. I'm saying they were going out for, I don't know, 2-3 years. They're going out, they're ready to get married. She's the one who made him religious. And now all of a sudden, he finds out that he's a Kohen. So do we trust, does he have to trust his father? They had to do research. They had to send a mishliach in a different city across the country to go to the cemetery to try to see if maybe the cemetery to see what's on the tombstone. That was part of the this Shiloh. It was an interesting yeshivas based in because the Shiloh was asked. It was before the world of Zoom. It was asked. I remember when I was in the Yodin Yodin Kol about how long ago. This Shiloh must have come up about 8 years ago. And I remember very vividly that there was a big screen and there was a teleconference Shaila with the Dayanim in Yeshiva. I think Mordechai Willig was one of the people being asked the Shaila, the Bezin of America, whoever it was. And I remember seeing on that screen this couple presenting the Shaila as the Shaila that breaks your heart. She's the one who made him from. And now he's going to have to, and they want to get married. They love each other. Now the one who made him from, now that he's from, he can't marry this girl. It's almost a similar Shaila. A little bit different, but do you have to believe the parents who aren't religious? How much could you trust the tombstones? Okay, well, anyway, this Shaila here by the Muranos, look on top of the screen. Veheshev, dekeva demasha aviv chashash milatami. You have a tradition that your father didn't want to go into a cemetery. That wasn't necessarily that he wasn't allowed definitively. Lo hayom ishuris hadin. It was a midas chassidus. He was nervous. He might be a Kohen, so he wanted to avoid the possibility in case he's a Kohen. So he didn't want to go into cemeteries. Because the Goyim had said that your family was the Jewish priest. You can't rely on the Goyim's testimony about who the Jewish family antecedents were. That's not going to make you a Kohen because the Goyim had a tradition that you're a Jewish priest family. And furthermore, in this specific case of the Murano, the grandfather wasn't careful to avoid cemeteries. He was closer to the previous generations. He wasn't worried about this. Therefore, we can't force you to, if you're already married, we can't force you to leave your wife. Va'od, and furthermore, here's a very important svara that does apply nowadays when you have non-religious people coming from, and they come from secular families. Va'od, look at this that he's going to say. In the time of the Inquisition and subsequent generations, maybe they didn't know who they were marrying. They didn't worry about all the halachas of who the Kohen is. Allowed to marry, not allowed to marry. Maybe he's not a Kohen. And you'll tell him maybe he's a Kohen, meaning biologically. Maybe a previous generation, his grandfather was a Kohen, his father's father was a Kohen, but married a Grusha or married a Gioras. Because they were Muranos. They didn't know these halachas. or they didn't keep the halachas, they didn't know the halachas. So even though maybe before they get married, maybe it's not a good shidduch, he should avoid it. Because he has a tradition from his father not to go into cemeteries. It's an interesting application of this svara. You have a tradition from your father, you might be a kohen. Don't drop your traditions. That's a word to the wise. But once you marry this woman, we can't say that you have to divorce her. So again, the shaila I had, you know, that came to us from Atlanta is not exactly the shaila from the Maranos, but you see how these kinds of shailas come up as far as a person's, you know, following the yichus and not knowing and having to rely on, you know, until now we were talking about saying that a guy, I am a kohen or my son is a kohen. Here is the opposite, where a person wants to say, maybe I'm not a kohen, maybe I could continue going out with this girl. So that's the sugya that we finished about a father walking in and saying, my son is a kohen. Next.
So there would have been an akumina whether they already had been married versus
possibly
an Atlanta case. Had they come after they were married, you might have had more of a heter.
Yeah, there would definitely be more of a heter if the more of it's, yes, we'd definitely be more nota lahatir if they would already be married. That's correct. I don't remember what the psak was in the Atlanta case. I don't know if I was involved in if I knew what the final conclusion was in that deliberation, because I think there was more research that had to be done that I just saw this, the shaila, I didn't see the end of the research. But yeah, once they'd be married, there's more room to be mako, not to have to break up a family. But you could see how this could be a terrible, terribly painful question. So let's do one more point today. Let's do one small point. And this is, could you follow, hold on one second.